You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. Today's kind of a sad day and sort of a happy day all rolled into one. And that's because I'm graduating personally.
Well, that's sad.
I know that's a great way to intro the show. I'm graduating. Who am I? Who are you?
Who are you to graduate?
Yeah, who am I to graduate? This is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the gaming industry, broadcasting live from the KCPR Studios at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. The final time. That's the sad part. This is the very last show, very last Press Start ever to be heard on KCPR.
That is too bad. I have enjoyed hanging out on 91.3.
Yeah, or in 91.3.
Wait, what? AM?
Well, 91.3.
Yeah.
This is the station. Are you at the correct station this morning?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. So, yeah, this will be the last show, unfortunately, at least over the airwaves, but the internet lives on, ubiquitous as part of our everyday life, so perhaps you will see more Press Start in the future, but at least for right now, this is the final dose of gaming radio.
I'm sure we'll pull something together.
Of course, we always do. I find it funny, we've never like come through on, like, you know, finality promises. Oh, Dave's leaving for good. That was lasted for like 3 weeks and then you came back. So.
That is true. I didn't expect that.
You didn't expect that.
Too much going on in San Luis Obispo. I just couldn't stay out.
Exactly. It's such a draw. Coming up on the show today, we're going to, it's sort of business as usual, but we are going to talk, we do the news and whatnot. The other thing we're going to do at the end of the show is we're going to take a look back at the 2006-2007 Press Start year, calendar year, with a little greatest hits package that we've put together for everyone out there for you.
Is it discounted and comes in a little red bordered box?
Blue light special, yes. But yeah, we'll be showing you that, or showing you. Watch your radio closely. No, we'll be presenting that to you at the end of the show. In case you missed something, you can relive the greatest moments.
This is big news, boys and girls. The greatest hits edition of Press Start is going to be the normal edition. Your original editions are all going to go for huge dollars on eBay now.
That's right, especially if we sign them.
Yeah.
If we sign your sound recording. And there's also, there's news to get to. And we're also going to take a look at the summer, the upcoming summer of games. I don't know if there's anything you're interested in.
Me?
Yeah, personally.
I don't really know. I just bought Odin Sphere and I still haven't beat Zelda Saga.
Finally.
So I don't think I'm gonna have a whole lot of new games to worry about.
Finally picked up Odin Sphere, huh?
Yeah, I picked it up because I thought it was gonna go out of print too fast.
Yeah. I should probably beat that game before I get bogged down in anything else.
I really shouldn't have bought it. I'm really kind of out of money.
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
That's okay. Worth it. The 2D gracefulness that is Odin Sphere.
Well, yeah, so I don't know if I told you this. I went home and plunked the game in and it didn't work.
Yeah, I think you were telling me that.
Yeah.
Did you ever get it fixed?
Yeah, it got fixed.
Was it the game or
it was
my
controller, it turns out.
Really?
Yeah.
Your controller prevented the game from starting.
Long story short, I have a broken controller.
And the long part of that story is there's got to be something interesting about how it
no,
broke.
No, it just, I lost my main controller, so we plugged in one of our alternate ones, and two of those didn't work with this game. Well, one of them was a PS1 controller, and it turns out Odin Sphere doesn't work with those. So I needed a DualShock 2. Well, the only DualShock 2 we had used, despite the fact that the one worked on every other game, the only DualShock 2 we had turned out to be broken and didn't work with any game. So I went through two controllers with this game and two different PS2s, and finally a third person graciously loaned me a controller, and lo and behold, it worked.
Well, there you go. Just the benevolence of strangers.
Yeah.
Now you can play Odin Sphere. Have you started it yet?
No.
No. Okay.
After all that.
You verified that it works?
Well, you know me. I'm more interested in, you know, games, game controllers, like meta game stuff. I'm more interested in, like, acquiring games and theoretically playing them. I don't play games.
You're one of these hardcore that spends all his time talking about games and never actually playing them anymore.
I do get accused of that.
Yeah. Well, it's okay.
All right. Tangent over.
Tangent over. Okay, so let's start where we usually start, and that's what came out on various digital distribution services, I should say. This past week, we've got on the virtual console, we'll start there. This week, Sonic 2, the Genesis version of Sonic 2, always a fan favorite. Lode Runner for the NES strikes me as a game that you would like.
I recall liking Lode Runner quite a bit. Gosh, that game's been on so many platforms. It's like Bust-A-Move or Puyo Pop. I don't even know what the original platform was.
It's a gold nugget collecting sim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a sim.
It's a sim.
In the same way that Mario is a Turtle Massacre sim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, when? Where's Thompson? That was a good line.
I think, let's see, he's not allowed to talk about, he recently went on a crusade against Nintendo. Okay, get this. Here are the tenuous links between what he claims and what's destroying America.
Yeah. Okay. I remember this.
So Wendy's is giving away Wii's, Nintendo Wii's. I think, 5,000 or 1,000 of them or whatever.
And Wii-related toys.
And Wii-related toys and whatever. So Jack Thompson was on a crusade against Wendy's because Manhunt 2, being developed by Rockstar, is coming out for the Wii. So in there, so what he's accusing Wendy's of is supporting murder simulation. So.
You know, in any other market, that might be valid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, well, I guess in any non-entertainment market, that would be pretty valid. Because, you know, you're supporting a platform that supports something else. That's indirect support. But in the entertainment markets, you have this incredible consumer choice element going on. There's people who don't like Manhunt are not generally going to buy Manhunt.
Unless they're masochists.
I don't think a person that dislikes themselves is going to buy Manhunt.
Yes, but a person who dislikes themselves might eat at Wendy's.
All right.
Fair enough.
I honestly haven't eaten at Wendy's in probably 5 years, so I have no idea.
So you must love yourself, going by that logic. Are you self-confident? Are you self-assured?
I don't think that the inverse necessarily applies.
Logical fallacy.
But I don't know. I'm a fan of myself. Where were we? We were talking about games.
Yeah, okay, virtual console.
Man, that's like three tangents I've gone on today.
It's
I
okay.
Apologize.
It's the last show ever, so right, what are they going to do? Kick us off the air?
Point taken.
We can do pretty much whatever. And also Golden Axe 2, the Genesis version coming to the virtual console, or it came to the virtual console. That's all well and good, classic games, etc. I'm more excited for the Xbox Live Arcade release this week, and that is Prince of Persia Classic. And some interesting stuff about this. It's the original Prince of Persia, pretty much the exact same game with some new tweaks and additions, but it's not the, rotoscoped 2D, 8-bit color version, or whatever it was, that appeared on the Apple II in some sequence systems.
I did like that game.
You did like that game, but the this one is actually done, it's actually an outside developer, Gameloft. They usually do a lot of mobile games. They did Paris Hilton's cell phone game. So Gameloft did the development, but they took the original Prince of Persia game, they added some cool 3D graphics. It's still a side-scroller, but it's 3D, and it uses the art assets from the Sands of Time. So it's Sands of Time Prince traveling through Sands of Time environments, fighting Sands of Time enemies.
Sands of Time.
Very cool. Isn't that cool? That's cool.
That does sound pretty cool. I would, with a lot of these old games being remade, I would like the option to play the old one. Like Symphony of the Night did that. They let you have the old graphics or the smooth with the new music.
Right.
And I really like the old one, so I stuck with the old one. With a game like Prince of Persia, I never got to play through the original in its entirety. And so since I like to look at games, you know, a remake of a game is kind of like, it's like a remix of a really good song. The song wasn't really good because anything needed to be changed about it. You kind of see where I'm going with that? So,
in some cases, you could argue that the Alanis Morissette My Humps remix is superior to the original.
Well, so if you didn't like the original, a remix is great.
Right.
But actually, most of my favorite remixes are remixes of songs I didn't like.
Okay.
And so when I hear a remix of a song I do like, I'm expecting more of something I'm used to, and then it goes and changes.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like,
So does this mean you're not going to give Prince of Persia a chance?
I'll play the demo. I'll give anything a chance. But I don't know. I'd like to see that option more often. Because, okay. I mean, what if I could play through the original game, you know, the way it was originally presented to me? I understand the end boss is a really neat sequence that I've never seen. I'd like to see it how it was originally done.
Now,
but
it might
achievements
help
for all this.
It might help if the game wasn't so damn hard in the first place. But they did make
hard games are, you know,
frustrating and
yeah,
time consuming.
We all grew up on those.
Yeah, I grew up on games that were just easy enough for me to beat them.
I played a lot of hard games, and I just got killed a lot on them. Eventually, I'd start getting really good. I go back and play some of those now, and I think, man, I just don't have the time to get good at games anymore. I need easy games.
I'm so happy that games are easier and more cinematic in nature, so they're more like experiences rather than challenges to overcome.
That's interesting you say that, because I found a lot of my favorite games are actually almost interactive movies.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I'm getting old.
The hardcore empirists out there probably
don't like that. Every once
in
a while, I'll go by some crazy super difficult game just to see how far I can not get.
So you're a masochist
now and again.
So you're not eating at Wendy's
game. Why do I need to eat at Wendy's?
I'm just
stay home and
I'm
beat all these
saying,
games.
I'm just saying.
All right,
so Prince of Persia Classic, 800 points. You get the original Prince of Persia remixed. So it's pretty much, they added some new enemies in certain places to make the game quote-unquote more dramatic. They added some new moves, like the prince can now hang off of ledges in case you fall. So it's not as unforgiving as the old one. And some cool graphics, very cool graphics. And there's three modes. There's a time attack mode where you got to beat the game in under 60 minutes. And if you don't, you have to start all over. There's a normal mode. You can save in between stages. And there's this, I think it's called challenge mode, which is like for the truly hardcore, where you are tasked with beating the game in under 60 minutes without dying once.
You know, the Nintendo port of the original Prince of Persia had the hour time limit.
Did it?
But it didn't. You could die. You just had three lives, or you know, 1 hour, whichever ran out first.
Yeah. So that's like the normal mode. But you're getting a lot. You know, I mean, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck for this one, and it's pretty, pretty graphically impressive. I can't wait to try it out.
Well, I mean, you know, if I really want to be hardcore about it, I can just go buy the Commodore discs and go play it on that, and then I can go back to the Xbox Live and play the new game.
Yeah. There you go.
I just gotta look at it as a different game.
Yeah.
I still like the option. Xevious came out. It's the exact same game, but with leaderboards. I think this is great.
That's cool. I mean, yeah, it's tough to get into those, but Centipede and Millipede is another one.
Well, the only reason I haven't gotten into Xevious is I never played Xevious before. I almost downloaded it the other day. But I mean, if they took some old like NES game and, you know, or okay, Hogan's Alley. Did you ever play Hogan's Alley?
No.
If they ported Hogan's Alley to say Xbox with the light gun, and it was the exact same game, 8-bit graphics, like three scenes, and that's it. And it had leaderboards. I would probably pay way too much money for that game. Probably.
You don't have any money after buying Odin Sphere.
Well, no, but I mean, when I had some, I'd go save up, you know?
Yeah.
Sell some old games or something.
Well, I it's funny that you mentioned that, and you mentioned Symphony of the Night, because I'm currently playing Symphony of the Night in the enhanced version. So it's just different tastes. You're the old school, I'm the new school, et cetera.
I guess so. Never thought of myself that way.
Yeah, hey, old timer, retire already.
I'm getting older. I'm seeking out older systems to buy.
Pretty soon you'll be playing with one of those huge room-sized computers they developed in the 40s at universities.
The irony, of course, is I would be playing Zork, which I could play on any computer, or even a Palm Pilot.
Or a microwave running
no
Linux.
Money.
Yeah. All right, well, that's your little digital distribution update for this week, and we've got more news coming up. We've got, including a Soul Calibur 4. We got the first look at Soul Calibur 4 as Dave downed some iced tea.
I needed it. My throat was hurting so badly.
Man. And so we'll get to all of that, and of course, coming up at the end of the show around, you know, quarter till 11 or so. We'll be here till 11, but quarter till 11, we'll sort of look back at the best moments of Press Start over this past year, so hopefully you'll stick around for that.
I will.
Okay, good. And you also, as in everyone who's listening. Good job. In the meantime, here's a remix by a person that I actually know personally, Trentheon, otherwise known as John St. John, with a Mega Man 7 remix, Bomb and Shade of Blue. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You are listening to Press Start, the last ever Press Start on KCPR 91.3 FM. Bomb and Shade of Blue by Trentian John St. John. We got an email last week from...
Did we?
Yes, we did. And I'm happy that we... From Paranoid Fox. I love that. I love that name. Eric, if you are listening, thank you for emailing
the show. Oh, I know who this is.
Thanks for listening. And you write, or you wrote, because I would assume you're not writing this again right now. You wrote, this past week, you mentioned, specifically Dave mentioned, a shop in Atascadero with a bunch of Super Nintendos for sale. I was wondering what its name was and where it was located exactly, because I'd like to get one. Thanks a lot. Eric, you did kind of mention this in passing, Dave.
I did.
So, spill the beans, what is it?
Oh, it's a store in Atascadero. I understand we're not supposed to promote specific businesses.
Yes.
But
he asked.
Well, yeah, okay, he asked. The store is called it's just Games Exchange,
okay.
I believe, and it's off El Camino. Neat little store, real nice guy in there. I go in there once in a while and talk to him. He has a lot of, like, budget price stuff that I like to sift through. But, yeah, I happened to notice a couple Super NESs there last time. And I picked up a bunch of old NES and N64 games, so I was really happy.
That's cool. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Games Exchange.
I looked up Paranoid Fox, incidentally, on Google, because I could have sworn I saw this name somewhere. And no, it wasn't anything I recognized, but Eric, are you...
You do realize he can't answer any question you ask him right now.
He can send emails
back. Yes, he can. But, oh, yeah, we should probably give the email address real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Email address, because since this is the final show, you want to, you know, say whatever you want, really. I don't really care what you say at this point, because it's the last show. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. That's the email address, so send us something.
Well, so I was wondering, are you a local here? Because if so, that's pretty excellent. But I found a couple of Paranoid Foxes, one of whom I think matched your email address in Europe. So that's pretty cool, if so. But yeah, give us an email back.
Give us an email, PressStartKCPR@gmail.com.
So our show's going down. Are we still answering emails?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good.
If you want to email me, you know, 30 years from now, while I have a career, and maybe I'm retiring. Who knows what's going to happen 30 years from now? But you have a question about something I talked about on Press Start, I would be more than happy to try and answer it.
Sounds good.
Without hyperbole, I say that. But yeah, you still want to email us after the show's off the air, you can do that.
We should throw the email up on the website.
We should do that, yeah. Though, and the website, by the way, where you can download the show is pressstart.thefighting.org. It's where you can check that out. All right, let's get to the news. So like I mentioned, there's a new Soul Calibur 4 teaser trailer thing going on. It was just released by Namco. And it looks to me like Ivy has some work done between Soul Calibur 3 and Soul Calibur 4.
Her whip get longer?
Not exactly. She's got some new weapons, if you take my meaning. But if you check it out, gamesarefun.com. Well, you can watch the trailer, and it shows, it doesn't really show any gameplay, but it shows some of the...
All it shows is characters having work done?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, list of changes for Soul Calibur 4. Ivy's a gunslinger. I don't know, Cervantes is not a ghost anyway. I don't know.
Cervantes is alive. It shows some of the 3D artwork of the characters, some high-res 3D artwork, and there's some text, teaser text, so it's pretty cool. If you're excited, Soul Calibur 4 is going to come to the PS3 and Xbox 360. Sorry, Wii owners, but,
The Wii's getting Smash Brothers Brawl. I don't think
it is.
And maybe Guilty Gear Accent Core. I don't think the fighting game players there are too worried.
And it's also getting its own Soul Calibur game, Soul Calibur Legends, which is an action-adventure game.
Oh,
that takes place actually between the first Soul Calibur and Soul Edge, which was the very first game.
Oh, wow. I have that game.
You have that, Soul Edge?
Yeah.
I remember playing, it always went by two names, Soul Blade and Soul Edge.
It was which region you got it in.
Yeah, interesting. I've seen both.
It was Home versus Arcade?
I think so, because I've seen in arcades it was called something different.
I don't know this.
Yeah,
wow.
I think it was Soul Blade in arcades.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. Anyway, Soul Calibur 4, you can check out the trailer, teaser trailer, gamesarefun.com. And other news this week, God of War Chains of Olympus, the demo, coming in September. Good news for those of you. You could, at the official site there, you were able to get a free copy. They'll be sending you, you put down your address, they'll be sending you a UMD with the God of War Chains of Olympus demo. And the more I see that game, the better it's looking. It's amazing what they've managed to do for the PSP on that.
I just finished God of War 1, so I mean, I think anything that company does is going to look great.
Finally beat it, huh?
Finally beat it.
How'd you like it?
I liked it quite a lot. I thought the ending was fun. A lot of people didn't seem to like it, but I did.
It was hard. The ending was hard to me.
The end... Let's talk about the ending being hard. That game, if you restart after dying a whole bunch of times, sets you on easy mode.
Yeah.
And then saves that, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you're not paying attention, when you're just clicking yes, restart, you'll go into easy mode, you won't realize it. Then when you go load your save a couple hours later, it's on easy. So I spent the last hour of the game on easy mode.
Well, then you probably had no problems with it.
I didn't really. Yeah. I enjoyed it on normal.
You know, I played it on God mode after I beat it, and managed to get back to the Cliffs of Madness, but the Satyrs are just impossible.
Oh,
on
you
God
got really
mode.
Far.
Yeah. But the Satyrs are so hard. They're so hard.
I want to try that
ridiculous.
Now.
Ridiculous. Yeah, well, props to you if you can get past the Cliffs of Madness on God mode.
I still need to beat Ninja Gaiden. I've got plenty of hard games.
You called it Ninja Gaiden?
Okay,
Gaijin.
I've been calling Ninja Gaiden, the character
Ryu.
Cage. There's Legend of Cage, Ryu. Oh, I've gotten over Ryu.
Samus.
No, Samus is just Samus. These are all names.
That was Samus.
Have you ever called her Samus?
No, I haven't. I'm just saying. I thought that's the correct pronunciation.
It probably
What's
is.
What's Cage?
Cage is Kage.
It's Kage? It's not Cage Maru?
Yeah. So, Japanese names, when we were little, like, we didn't know anything about how to pronounce these.
Yeah.
And I've just stuck with the ones I knew when I was younger.
Yeah, Cage sounds way cooler than Kage.
Yeah, Kage means shadow. That's pretty ninja-y.
Cage?
Yeah.
Cage, with a K.
Yeah,
okay,
see,
that's
see
way
that,
better than Japanese Shadow could
so
ever be.
So you cannot
be.
Possibly make fun of me for pronouncing it Ninja Gaiden.
That's the correct pronunciation. You said Ninja Gaiden.
I did also say Ninja Gaiden.
Yes.
You're right.
I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm just pointing
you
it
just
out.
You just did. Whatever.
I didn't make fun
Whatever.
Of you. All right,
letting this last show thing get to your head.
Yeah. All right, so check this out. Capcom is getting in on the Steam, Valve's Steam service. They're getting in on the gravy train with Steam. Here's what's coming out for Steam. Lost Planet, Onimusha 3, Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition, and Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Really?
All coming to Steam. So PC gamers getting happy.
So eventually they're just not going to sell games anymore.
Yeah. Well, Capcom, you know, I'm really...
Well, not physical ones, sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe, perhaps. Digital distribution seems to be the way of things.
Every new 360 disc is just going to include a copy of Steam for the 360 and just download the games.
The thing I'm happy about with Capcom is that they've, you know, for a Japanese company, they've really focused their efforts with this new generation on the Western market. You know, a lot of PC gamers here, a lot of PC gamers in Japan too, but, you know, PCs primarily in America, you know, all these new games come into Steam. And then, there, of course, there's... you know, the Xbox 360 titles, Dead Rising, Lost Planet, those are coming to the Xbox 360, which is doing abysmally in Japan. So, I like it. I like this direction Capcom is taking. They're eschewing the Japanese market in favor of a more worldwide approach, something I think Square Enix should take some notes on.
Well, I know Street Fighter, the license, is now owned by Capcom of America. And I think Capcom just of America has more pull now. Or at least... more pull compared to Capcom of Japan. They can, you know, get more stuff done over here. They've probably got a business side of things that's really pushing that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's cool.
Go Capcom.
I like games coming out over here.
Definitely, me too.
Wasn't there a Mega Man PC game?
Mega Man.
Like
Mega
in the 80s?
I'm not sure. I know there was a Mega Man game on the Game Gear.
That I didn't know about.
That, yeah, and I own it, actually, which is good times.
That was
a fun game, yeah. Really obscure, but it was a fun game. And the graphics were better than the Game Boy version, obviously, because it was color.
Yeah.
But hard, but fun. I don't know about PC. Was there a PC Mega Man?
I think there was. One of our listeners, our faithful listeners, is going to email me a link to this thing. I just know it.
Speaking of faithful listeners giving us an email, we got a send-off from Mr. Eduardo. Thank you for emailing. He says, my name is Eddie, and I'm sad that there will be no more press start. I have good memories waking up to you guys. Thank you for all the updates and news. Goodbye. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for emailing us, and it's nice to know that we had you listening out there every morning.
Yeah, that's real kind of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Every morning.
Every morning.
He has 6 days out of the week. He's looping the old episodes.
Hardcore.
Actually, you know, get in touch with us. We're looking for stuff to do on the website, because we still have a podcast feed. So,
that's right.
If anybody listening would like to get involved with this, do get in touch with us. We're... not quite sure where we're going to take this, so we're taking all ideas.
Even
what
if
do you
it,
see?
Even
what
if
do you
just,
want to be involved in?
Yeah, we'd welcome you know, people, you know, helping us out. And also, even if you just want to like challenge us in some Xbox Live games, our gamer tags are up there, and you can see what we've been playing. So, you know, bring it.
If I've got a couple hours, I'll take all comers.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's do it. All right, so Dave, Guitar Hero, Rock the 80s. We got the track list. You excited?
We have the track list.
We do have the track list.
Ooh. I really should have been reading game news this week.
Yeah, you should have.
Gotta admit,
I
wasn't.
That's why you do the show with me. Okay, Hold On Loosely by 38 Special. Let's try and find some of the more well-known songs. Ballroom Blitz by Crocus. That's going to be in there. Wrathchild, Iron Maiden. That's going to be in there. You love the Maiden.
I do like the Maiden.
I Want to Rock, Twisted Sister, Iran, Flock of Seagulls. That's perfect for Guitar Hero. What else is on there? Skid Row has 18 in Life. Poison, Nothing But a Good Time. Eddie Money with Shaken and the Police with Synchronicity 2.
Oh, really?
Good times. I'm still kind of disappointed that there's no Hotel California, because that is the song. I would buy a Guitar Hero game that just had Hotel California.
I wonder if Rock Band's going to get a lot of those connections now that they have MTV.
I'm issuing it to this statement to the entire industry. Any music games anyone creates, if you put Hotel California on there and let me play a music game to Hotel California, I will buy it. Okay, there you go. Harmonix, whoever else makes music games out there, it's all you got to do to get me to buy your product.
I'm going to key this thing into Daigaso Band Brothers.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
I should. If I can find some MIDI to transcribe, I'll do it.
Probably not that hard to find.
Probably isn't.
All right, so check this out. There's for the PSP, there's a new R-Type game coming.
Oh, yeah? New shooter? Side-scrolling shooter?
Yeah, no.
No?
No. It's a tactics strategy game. Grid-based tactics strategy game in the R-Type franchise.
So that's just like a side-scrolling shooter where you plan it one frame at a time.
Yes, pretty much. It's a grid-based strategy RPG-style game, kind of, and it's R-Type. And it's being developed by IREM, who worked on the impeccably wonderful Bumpy Trot, otherwise known as Steamboat Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
So, good. IREM, it's in capable hands, because I love IREM.
IREM's been around a while.
They've been around a long time.
They made, what was it, Metal Storm on the NES.
Yeah.
That gravity-reversing robot game. I really like that game.
IREM rocks. All right, so one more news story here, and this is the inner hockey fan in me. Electronic Arts, okay, they're set to make one of the greatest NHL games ever, it seems like. They just got the American Hockey League license, which is the NHL's major minor league.
Is that an exclusive license?
Well, they're the only hockey game right now so far to have that license ever. This is the first hockey game to have the AHL license. That's big because you can either sim or play any of your... Let me back up. You got an NHL team in Dynasty mode. You're the GM. You play the games if you want. You make personnel moves. You know, you run the team. And you also have a minor league team. And in NHL 07, you could send your players to the minors, but you didn't actually have... you couldn't keep track of the minor league team's success, you know? So in this new game, the AHL team, there's one associated with each NHL team for the most part. And now you can actually play both your NHL team's games and your AHL team's games during the course of the season, which is awesome. You can send players down to the AHL. You're going to have a full team of minor league prospects that you'll be able to call up and arrange on your NHL team, which is something that really hasn't been around in any hockey game so far. You're going to be able to do practice drills now, real practice drills, not mini games. So when you schedule a practice for your team, you'll be able to run power play, penalty kill, other types of drills that NHL teams would run, which is huge for the gameplay. Dynasty mode is going to rock. And then EA announced the cover athlete for NHL 08, and that's going to be Eric Staal of the Carolina Hurricanes, who was an all-star this year. So, big, you know, there's probably like 5 hockey fans in all of California, so I make 20% of the audience. But for the other 4 of you out there, this is big. It's huge.
The 5 of you should go storm EA's offices. Yay, hockey.
Storm the offices in joy. So
it would be a pretty uplifting storming, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I guess, hopefully, we won't destroy the game doing all of that good stuff.
You're like, there's only 5 of us. Can you put us in your game? Please? Please?
That's what they did in 07 for the PS2. The developers were like on a shoestring budget, and they just put themselves into the game for like no reason.
Remember when developers used to do that to every game?
I hate that. I hate that. Especially because in NHL 07, they were in the free agents list. So you have teams signing like Eric Chartrand, producer of NHL 07. And it's like, this guy can't play hockey. You can just tell by their pictures. No offense, Eric Chartrand. I mean, I'm sure you could play in like, you know, a pickup league or whatever, but...
I was thinking more like where they put them in as little, you know, unimportant characters.
Well, they are unimportant characters.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I'm just kidding. They developed the game. They're really important.
No. Like the random enemies, whatever, would be all programmers, things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure didn't sound like you got it.
Give me some, cut me some slack, please.
All right.
So that's about it for the news this week. Nothing huge. There's a, the Fallout 3 trailer was released.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if you saw that.
I did see that one, actually.
Yeah, pretty
cool.
My
roommate's a huge Fallout fan. So.
Pretty cool. Pretty excited for that. 2008 by Bethesda.
I need to play the first two.
I actually know someone who still has the original discs for Fallout. My friend, who's not really a gamer, who's a car guy, but he has the original Fallout discs. And he says those are his favorite games ever, so he's excited for Fallout 3. So, anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have for you a look at the summer of gaming. I'll talk about a demo that just came out on the Xbox Live Arcade. Actually, two demos that just came out on the Xbox Live Arcade. One of these, Dave, this game you've got to get.
All right.
Okay, there's no reason you should not own this game.
I'm excited.
Good. You should be. And on top of all that, we've got our look back at 2006-2007 press start year. It's going to be great. So stick around. You are listening to KCPR. Chrono Trigger remix there by Ambient is the artist, called Chronodyne Marine. You may recognize that song as the Ocean Palace theme, one of the great songs in Chrono Trigger. So I mentioned before the break that there were a couple of demos that I was going to talk about, and let's start with the first one. I downloaded the demo, I guess it was last Wednesday when it came out, last Thursday I guess it came out. So Dave, you would strike me as the type of person to be a fan of this particular franchise, Shadowrun.
I do like Shadowrun.
Do you like Shadowrun?
I like the old Genesis game. I never played the pen and paper game.
Okay, so but you have some experience. I am a Shadowrun virgin, or at least I was. But FASA Studio, who's done the Mech Assault games, they sort of did... It's not necessarily a game in the continuity of Shadowrun. They sort of did a... It's a loosely based on Shadowrun, bearing the Shadowrun name for the Xbox 360 and PC. It's called Shadowrun. It's a first-person shooter with a twist. And I downloaded the demo. It's a team-based shooter. It's a lot like Counter-Strike. Imagine Counter-Strike, but now imagine, like, everyone has magic.
Yeah, it's not, like, super hardcore like Counter-Strike is. Yeah, it doesn't feel that way.
Well, but yeah, but it shares a lot of the same mechanics. So it's, like, team-based. Uh-huh. It's multiplayer only. The objective is to capture this staff and bring it to the goal, which is the same as, like, hostage, mm-hmm. you know.
You
buy weapons in between rounds. And not only can you buy weapons, you can buy magic and technology, magic spells. So the R trigger fires, and then the three other shoulder buttons, you can equip a spell or piece of technology to. And so you have things like you can teleport through walls, through ceilings, through floors. You can fly around the stage on a cool glider pack. You can see through walls. You can, what else? The demo has some of the stuff locked out. There's this thing called, a spell called Gust, where you can like, it's sort of like force push in Star Wars games. You can like push people off of ledges and stuff like that. But I downloaded the demo. Demo's one map, open. Two of the races are open. There's actually four races in the game: Elf, Minotaur, Human, and Elf.
What was the first one?
Human, Elf, Minotaur.
Elf, Minotaur, Human, and Elf?
And Gnome.
Oh, Gnome.
Or
okay.
Dwarf. Sorry, Dwarf.
Dwarf.
Dwarf. And basically, you choose one. They each have different attributes. Some have more magic than others. Some have more health, etc. So you pick one, you join your team, you spend some cash, buy some weapons and magic, and basically you go at it with the other team. Demo, I was surprised, you know, I hadn't really ever paid attention to Shadowrun, sort of a, you know, whatever, Shadowrun I never even knew about Shadowrun until I heard about this game, but I played the demo, surprisingly awesome.
I watched a lot of it being played, I haven't played it, looked like fun.
Pretty cool. Pretty good, especially this, you know, it adds to this whole, it's very polished, but it adds to the first-person shooter genre by introducing, like, magic. I think that's the coolest part, the spells.
People used hacks to produce the exact same effect in other games.
But now it's legal.
Yeah, it's
and
canonical.
Everyone can do it, yeah.
Well, the way they do a lot of it is clever. Like, yeah, you can see through walls, and what you do is you see the outline of people, but not all the time. It's only when you, you know, use the spell.
Right, when you're close to them, mm-hmm. too. You could sometimes, if you're too far away, all you see is a little red dot that just shows the general location.
Would you see, you can resurrect people?
Yeah, you can resurrect people once
they
die. So
that seems almost unprecedented in a first-person shooter, like team game, like Counter-Strike, where you either eliminate the other team.
Right.
But the way they did it, when you resurrect somebody, not only does it, instead of just spending the magic and recharging it, it locks out that right. amount of magic, so it's like spending it permanently
right.
until they die again. Well, but if you die, they start dying again.
Right. So it works like this. So let's say, Dave, we're playing together. You die.
I die.
You're sitting on the ground. There you are, dead. I run by. I resurrect you. You're back to life. But now that magic that I used to revive you is actually reserved for your life. So as long as you're alive, I don't have as much magic as mm-hmm. I used to before. Now let's say someone kills me. Uh-oh, Dave. You start to slowly lose life.
Yep.
And that will happen until either someone else comes by and revives you, or you, once you die, you're gone forever. So you can only be revived once.
Well, if somebody... Oh, really? Once I die, I'm gone forever? I didn't know about that.
Once you die, once you've been revived and then killed again, you're gone forever.
Once I'm starting to bleed, though, out from the revival right. bleeding, whatever it's called, somebody else can come over and revive me.
Yes.
But then it takes off from their magic total.
Right.
And so there's this... You know, there is a permanent loss whenever you take down one of the opponent's teammates. They're not just going to resurrect all over the place.
Right.
So it's
a one-time thing.
Yeah, that's a really neat way to handle that, I think.
What I think is cool is the spell where you throw a tree down.
Yeah.
You throw a seed, and all of a sudden it sprouts in this huge tree that not only does it provide cover, but it heals anyone who comes close to it, which is cool.
Regardless of team. It's also cover.
It is.
Oh, wait, no, you just said that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So... But that's pretty cool. There's a lot of cool mechanics in Shadowrun.
There are.
I could definitely... I played the demo for many hours last week, and I have a really, really nice appreciation of the polish in the game, the amount of stuff you can do. The full game may be overpriced at full price for Xbox 360 title because there's only 9 maps, and it is multiplayer only. There's no single player. You can play bot matches, which who would want to do that when you can play other real people? So... You know, I can't fully go out and say, based on the demo, hey, go get it. It's that good. It is really good, but I don't think it's that good. Yeah, it is.
It'd be worth it, you know, if it had content behind it.
Yeah.
Then again, what if there are 9 really good maps? Or was it six?
It's nine.
I'm really not on top of it
nine,
today, I apologize.
Nine maps. You know, even if they're all really good, I don't know necessarily
how many maps
it.
Do you realistically play in a game like Halo? That a lot of people bought for
like
its multiplayer.
Like five, maybe.
Yeah.
At most.
So if we have nine good maps, that's, you know, well over five. That could be well worth it. Of course, you know, I think whether a map is considered good by people or not is largely preference. So maybe people aren't going to prefer that many of these maps.
Yeah, and maybe. I mean, they might have some free downloadable content in the future.
They promised that.
Yeah.
But of course, so did Guitar Hero.
That's true, too. I don't know if I can recommend it totally. I would like to pick it up, but I'm going to wait for it to drop in price before I do so. But, I mean, if you need something for the summer, I would definitely say Shadowrun will definitely hold you over till Halo comes out in September.
If you want to play against your Vista-owning friends, too.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the first game to support that?
Yeah, but they have to have Windows Live.
Oh, okay.
They have to subscribe to Windows Live, so...
Is that a paid service?
Yes, it is. It's like Xbox Live, only for Windows.
I see. Ooh, that might be rough.
Yeah, that's a little misstep there.
I don't
there.
Know about that.
So that's Shadowrun. The other demo that I picked up, and this is by a Dutch developer, and it's being published by Codemasters, I believe. It's called Overlord. Dave, you're going to love this game. You are required to go home and try out the demo, okay?
All right.
Basically, think Pikmin, okay?
I do think Pikmin.
Think, okay, good. You're thinking right. Now, take Pikmin and cover it up in a medieval sort of Oblivion / Fable-like fantasy shell.
I'm now, thinking of Pikmin on horses.
Yes, good. Now
with downloadable armor for like $4.
Now, okay, don't go that far. Now imagine the main character, instead of being a cute little space dude, is a huge, hulking, buffed out, evil overlord wearing armor and wielding a giant axe.
And his minions are going...
Actually, that's not too far from the truth. Now imagine his minions are not Pikmin, but goblins that spawn out of holes in the ground.
So it's like maladjusted Pikmin.
It is like maladjusted Pikmin, but they've injected so much great humor. The voice acting, everything is wonderful. There's a... Okay, so here's the premise. You play this evil overlord who's been resurrected by these goblins after their old overlord was defeated and his tower pillaged by those pesky do-gooding heroes that, you know, wander the countryside.
It's like Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah, it is like Dungeon Keeper. So now your task is to rebuild your evil dark tower fortress by going out into the world and causing as much mayhem as possible and recovering the stolen artifacts that those heroes nicely, you know, gave back to their villagers or whatever goody crap they do. So in your tower, it's one of the funny things is that in your tower, you have this goblin who's a jester who you can like beat up if you want. It's just, he sort of acts as the tutorial for combat and you beat up this little goblin jester dude, but like he wanders around your tower calling you names and like, you can like kick him and like, he'll be like, oh, wise overlord, blah, blah, blah. And then when you kick him, he's like, oh, beater of goblins and stuff like that. So really, really cool. It's basically essentially like Pikmin, the right analog stick controls your horde of minions that follow you around.
Good. I like that.
Yeah, and you spawn them out of little holes in the ground. They, you know, come out and they all surround you, your overlord guy, and they all follow you around. So that's cool. You can use them to fight enemies, push open barricades, and, you know, do all sorts of things. The coolest part is that when they kill something, or they destroy a building or kill someone, they take whatever they find and equip it. So like if you have them destroy a pumpkin patch, they wear the pumpkins on their heads as like helmets. So that's pretty cool.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah, and it's really awesome. There's humor all over the place. It's kind of like a cross between Monty Python and Fable a little bit. So check out the demo. It gives you a little run through the first level tutorial. Really just a lot of charm, a lot of humor. I laughed out loud a couple of times just at the sheer absurdity of it all. But it comes out on June 26th, and it's really going undetected. And you must, if you own a PC or a 360, you must check out this game. There's also a PC demo, too. So
I really like that control style. Left stick moves your guy, right stick, you know, points your minions.
Right.
It harkens back to my old favorite strategy from playing Castles 2. I don't know if you ever played that. Great game. We just like, you know, okay, all archers, all infantrymen, all knights, attack, that guy.
Right. Yeah, you can kind of
they just
like
kind
that.
Of, rah!
It's really awesome, Dave. You gotta check it out.
I will check it out. Good. That sounds like fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's one of the, you're gonna love it. It's sort of your style of humor in games. And
okay,
it's
good.
Really cool, really cool. So that comes out June 26th. While we're on the topic of what's coming out this summer, let's just go through anything you're looking forward to. Did I already ask you that?
Yeah, there is. The Guitar Hero games. I think that's it.
Okay.
I don't know if that comes out in summer, though.
Rock the 80s comes out August or September.
Okay.
So here's what's coming out this summer you should keep an eye on. The PlayStation 2 is not yet dead. Grim Grimoire, which is the real-time strategy game from Vanillaware, the same people behind Odin Sphere, that comes out June 26th. And in fact, there's a cool pre-order bonus if you pre-order at Nipponichi's American store, online store. You can either get it with a promotional DVD with lots of content interviews, commercials, and stuff, or you can order the one that comes with a postcard booklet that's got artwork from the game on it, which is cool.
Nifty.
And you get a soundtrack with both of those, too, so if you want to check that out. Grim Grimoire comes out the 26th. Dirt, which is the new Colin McRae game from Codemasters, that comes out next Wednesday, the 20th. Like I said, Overlord comes out. Shadowrun's already out. That's for the 360. The Wii, you've got August 20th. 21st, I believe, Metroid Prime 3. Something to look forward to.
Oh, I know what I'm looking forward to. Project Sylphide.
Project Sylphide. That's July 10th. Thank you for reminding me. That's Game Arts developed.
I was in a store the other day, and I saw some pre-order. What was it? Something looked cool.
It's
Yes, new Sylphide game.
Project Sylphide. That comes for the 360 on July 10th, developed by Game Arts, published by Square Enix. And I think that's pretty much what I'm looking forward to. The PlayStation 3, I think, has Lair. I think that may have gotten delayed. But, you know, there's good stuff coming out. Virtua Fighter 5 comes out in August as well. BioShock, August 21st for the 360 and PC. So
isn't this normally the time when, like, nothing comes out?
I know. This year, they're overloading us.
That's good.
Good deal to pass the slow summer months.
Maybe the industry is just getting bigger.
That's good. It's good if that happens. All right, anyways, you know, as I promised, I've been hyping it the whole show. We're going to do a look back now. It's kind of a sad day. You know, Dave, I've enjoyed doing the show with you.
I have, too. It's been fun. We've been doing it, gosh, a year and a half or so together.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You've come in. We've come in every Wednesday morning. We've done the show. People have listened. If you want to email us, once again, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. And, but yeah, I did promise a look back at some of the best moments of...
This is going to be so apocalyptically embarrassing.
For you and me both, Dave. So without further ado, I present to you 2006-2007 Press Start Year in Review.
It looked promising.
As far as I understand it, C# isn't that much different from C++. Or C.
It's an object-oriented language with a lot of things like automatic garbage collections designed with developer productivity in mind, which means the runtime's a little bit slower, so it's a little bit more like Java, but it's certainly viable for game development.
You had me at garbage collection, Dave. You had me at garbage collection.
If you know what that means,
I have
probably
no idea what that means.
It's a memory management trick.
My knowledge of C# goes no further than the name that I know that is the name of the
language.
Oh no,
I just recited the spiel just now that I read off Microsoft's page last night. I don't think I know that much more about it. I fully intend to learn.
We have no idea what we're talking about. We just hope that you do.
This is great radio.
All right.
Seriously though, if I can learn it, any of you guys can learn it. I am not that smart.
That's not true. You are definitely a lot further down the ladder than worse than smart,
defeating.
Okay? Let me tell you.
All right, fair enough.
All right. And I put in Rogue Galaxy into my PS2, the demo, and I was just absolutely astonished at how like Skies of Arcadia this game looked. And I am so excited now for this because it looks and feels the environments like Skies of Arcadia. I mean, even down to the fact that in Skies of Arcadia, you flew around the world in, like, these colonial ships. You know, colonial-era seafaring voyage vessels, you know? But in Skies of Arcadia, they flew through the sky because they had wings and whatnot. Well, in Rogue Galaxy, it's kind of the same thing, only they've taken it a step further. Now these colonial-era, like, seafaring ships can fly through space. How cool is that?
That was all in your presentation. They can fly through space.
They can fly through space. That is so cool. I can't believe some of the people, like how foul they are when you're trying to play.
Well, and it's really hard to be, you know, calm and courteous when you're 13 years old. And, you know, honestly, it's, you know, one person laughing at them doesn't do much when everybody laughs at them. Man, their little adolescent mind must explode.
Oh, well, I hope that happens more. I don't like kids. all right, finally. I realize you're
this
like
this week in the news.
You're like
Justin hates kids.
You're looking at me like I'm some kind of horrible person. Do you like kids, honestly?
We'll talk about that story. We've got a story.
Ejects Kung Lao's hat from Mortal Kombat out of its little glowing blue.
Not nearly as humorous. In fact, kind of sad. But I've got a lot to say about it. But it's okay. You know, you didn't know Dave.
All right.
So you're going to hell. But send us an email. What's the email address, Dave?
PressStartKCPR@gmail.com.
Thank you. That was with gusto. I like that. Gusto. It's just being somewhere else, not even being in your own body. We're all, it's just, I really, it's very zen-like, I suppose.
You just kind of like zone out and play it.
Yeah.
It's like Rez.
Yeah, it is. And I was just
same guy.
Same guy, and it's got that Rez vibe to it because it's got the music.
Yeah, you said Rez vibe. I get it.
It's got the music. Come on, I'm going to punch you. Yeah. I try and forget that elf bowling ever existed. It's become somewhat of a joke.
The market did too.
My favorite, I love when people ask, like, oh, recommend me some DS games, and people like post pictures of elf bowling 1 and 2. Yeah. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I dated a girl in high school who just loved elf bowling on her computer. She was a huge elf bowling fan. So, Kelsey, wherever you are, shout out to you. And elf bowling.
Bowl those elves, Kelsey.
Keep on bowling. Goodness.
He is one of my favorites.
He is quite lovely, too.
Really?
No. Well, I mean, maybe. I don't. I
got a
like
picture
I have
of him in one of the Xenosaga art books. I'm sure I could get it enlarged and framed for you.
I'll make a shrine devoted to him. It's not like I have a man crush on him or anything. It's, you know, he's just a great musician.
Man crush sounds like a Zangief move in Street Fighter. That's from, I swear that's from something.
Silent Hill inside your body.
You're gonna dress up like Pyramid Head. Giant knife. Surprise me in the bathroom.
There will be no bathroom surprise.
Good.
Never, ever.
Something I do not endorse. Same press, with the word electroplanktonica.
Press Start does not endorse bathroom surprise. First of all, let's start with this. Little quiz for you, Dave.
Okay.
What is Canada's national sport?
Oh, it's gonna be curling.
No, it is lacrosse. Isn't that interesting? What is Canada's most popular sport?
Curling.
No, it's hockey. What's
beaver punting?
Beaver punting is right up there. Ninja Red Man, by the way. I don't know if you can see this. It's a gingerbread man wielding katanas and wearing a ninja.
Oh, I get it. Ninja Red Man.
Wearing a ninja garb. You know, in some ways that sounds extremely awesome. Ninja Bread Man.
You can't catch him.
Someone.
He's the Ninja Bread Man.
And if you do catch him, he'll slit your throat. You are correct.
Oh, no kidding.
It's on Parasite Eve 3 is coming to cell phones. I don't know how you could get any more anticlimactic than that.
They should team up with Paris Hilton's cell phone game. Oh. Parasite Hilton. The cell phone game.
You know, he's everyone's, like, dream. Like, I would love to marry Patrick Swayze. Not me, personally. I'm not trying to say that.
That goes on the stinger.
I'm not trying to say that I personally would love to marry Patrick Swayze. Although he might be a good husband, so I can't, you know, honestly, I don't want to defame his character by saying that he would not make a good marriage spouse, which is kind of redundant. But... you know, like in L.A., they've got Johnny Mountain for their weather.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You don't name your child Johnny Mountain.
Okay, you don't choose your last name either.
Okay, I'm just saying. You don't name your child Johnny Mountain if you don't want him to become a professional TV.
One of the Mountain Clan is going to be listening to us, and they're going to be like, oh, man, it's on now. It's on now. We're going to call our friends the Castles.
Look,
we're going to take this radio show down.
Look, if they come after us, I'm married to Patrick Swayze, okay? So they better watch out, okay?
Bong 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 do 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 do.
So there you have it, the 2006-2007 year in review. Press
I still
start.
Maintain I didn't know it was recording when I did that.
you were quite in key though. You notice how you like you were like right there. It just like matched up perfectly at the end. The God
oh
theme.
Man, I don't believe we said some of that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
That was fun.
Going back, fun times, fun times. Well, in any case, this is it. The final 120 seconds here.
No post show.
I don't think there's going to be a post show today. No post show.
Well, I guess every show after this is going to be a post show. So
yeah, a post show.
We'll get something there. It's been a good run.
It has been
a good run. I've enjoyed KCPR. It's a nice little studio.
Humble beginnings. Dave, you appeared as a guest for the Poly Game Creation Club way back when, 2006, early 2006.
Yeah, that was way back when. Wow.
It's my sophomore year. And you came on and you came back often.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always been a pleasure. You've always kept this show going. You've kept me in line.
It's been tough, I know.
It's just the show doesn't work without both kinds of personalities at it. So it's
Definitely. And I've really appreciated the fact that you've come out every Wednesday. We're doing this for free, and you came out and just did it because you love to do it, and it's been great having you. So thank you, and
hey,
I'm glad you could be here for the last show.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah,
it lined up well.
And thanks to all the people who've ever emailed us, who've ever said they've listened to us, who've liked the show. I've met numbers of you around campus, even though you never emailed or whatever. But thank you. Thanks to everyone who's listened from the community, who maybe doesn't necessarily go to Cal Poly, who likes gaming, who's maybe learned something. We love bringing the show to you. We've loved receiving emails from people. Got to give a couple shout outs real quick to my dad, who listened every week, and he's actually in the studio right now. Mariah, my friend, who actually appeared on the show a couple times and who's listened from work almost every week. Any shout-outs for you, Dave?
Well, I've got shout-outs to everybody I've ever met after,
it's a lot of people
bringing up this show. And they say, oh, yeah, that show, I listened to that. That is my favorite part of this show, is meeting the people who listen to it.
Definitely.
And hearing that they enjoy it. That's absolutely the highlight for me.
Definitely.
So those guys, everybody who's been in contact with us, keep sending emails. Keep being in touch. I'd really like this to not be the end of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will have a continuation of Press Start on the internet.
Oh, we have Skype. That stuff is magical.
We do. And this is not the last you've heard of Dave and Justin. You can pressstart.thefighting.org. That's the website. And so keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it in the future for plans for an internet-only show. But as far as KCPR goes, I got to thank the people at KCPR. Got to thank Ben Greenaway, who was the news director here when I was a sophomore, who actually went to bat for me to get the show on the air when I pitched it to him. I was like, hey, here's an idea for a show. It'll be a talk show about video games. And, he was like, oh, okay, whatever. But he got it. He got it through for me. It got started under his watch. So thanks to Ben. I interned with him. He works at KVEC 920 AM now. So shout out to him. And yeah, just overall, it's been really fun. I've enjoyed doing the show. Thank you, everyone. And for one final heartwarming time, he's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Fascino. Game over.